Well, let's turn with me over to Colossians, and we will try to begin there. Thank you, Father. Probably the hardest thing to comprehend on this path is God is our Father. Maybe it's because everyone likes to call God their Father, but He's actually your Father if you're born again. In understanding and knowing and believing that you have a Father who's been around forever, who birthed you willingly, by your choice. When you accepted Christ, that's what happened to you. I used to think I had a little Jesus running around in my spirit, you know. Had a little kitchen in me and a little bedroom and Jesus lived in me, but when I learned about from Pastor Dave the Born Again Trail that I was actually born of God, the depth of that is something that we'll be understanding and trying to really comprehend for the rest of our existence, which is forever. Because, you know, every person born lives forever. But wherever your father is, that's who you live with after you leave this earth. So just comprehending him as a father is so deep and so rich. It's in this world, it'll be a lifetime of discovery, of battling within your own self, between your natural mind and your spiritual mind, between the natural man's thoughts of what a father is and the spiritual man's thoughts of what a father is. And that battle between the two, where every situation you face, you come to the question of, where's God? Is he with me? Is he for me? Or is he against me? Am I failing? What am I missing? Because, you know, in this life, this world, we face hard things. And if you haven't faced hard things, you at least know someone who is facing hard things. But chances are you have faced and are facing or will face difficult things. And we want to make sure that we don't paint a picture of Christianity as the faithful are the ones that avoid difficult situations. Because that can be one of the ideas that we hold on to if we don't get to know him as a father, and his will is, hey, you know, you do good, you get good. You give, you get blessed. You're faithful, you be rewarded. I remember Pastor Dave talking about how he got the revelation to love people the way God wanted. And so he loved people and was expecting that love to come back. He said, it was weird. I would love them and they would not give me love back. I would just get anger back or jealousy or envy or strife. And the commandment to love is not to love to get loved back. You know, I was visiting one friend in Switzerland, and he was just sharing how something God told him. It was really profound. You know, things that are from God to you are profound. They don't come from the knowledge of this world, and it's a different knowledge, a spiritual knowledge. And he had said that I can't remember the whole story, but it had something to do with his wife, and basically he was having issues, and the Lord said, you know, it's your problem. He said, no, it's my wife. You know, and he said, no, you're the problem. He said, no, God, it's the woman that I have. You know, no, it's your problem. And because a lot of us, as that we try to do, is justify our problems so we don't have to face them, justify our struggles. Like Gary said this morning, one of the favorite lines that God gave me was, "I'm not my struggles." Meaning that my struggles, I have to look at them not as being me, that I'm the problem. Because how many know I'm born of God? You're born of God. You're a child of God. You're born in light and love and in life from Him, from above. But I still have these struggles. You know, all of us, if not most of us, went to the altar, got born again, left the altar, then a few weeks later went back to the preacher and said, I don't think it worked. You know, what's wrong? Did I get half saved? Did I, you know, what's wrong? Or you're not anointed enough? You know, and because that questions of, if I'm born again, why am I struggling with areas in my life? Gary's been preaching about stop being two-dimensional. Let's get four-dimensional. You know, let's see ourselves as God sees ourselves. Someone said to me one time, you know, you guys preach too much about prayer and fasting. You know, you just got to know who you are and then walk in it. That's it. And I said, amen to that. Now, can you tell me how to know who I am? You know, great. You know, but how do I know who I am? Because if I were to question myself, there's a confusion about who I really am. When I read the Word, it says I'm this, but yeah, I look at my life and it's that. You know, how do I get to where the Word says, what the Word says is true in my life? Well, hold your finger in Colossians and let's go back to Jude. Because it's true, if I only knew who I was, I could have what he says I could have. Jude, verse 20. And you all know this. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Dave taught before, this building yourself up is not like blowing up a balloon where you blow it up. But as soon as you stop blowing, the air goes out. And then you come back and you got to constantly keep that sucker blown up. No, this is a building, like a building a building. And we can go through the New Testament where it talks about building your inner man, or rebuilding, your renewing your inner man, the knowledge from the inner man, that you can build the knowledge of God, of who He says you are, like a building, brick upon brick, and truth, which is from eternity. Think about this. Let's look. Just look at this one word, these one words here in Jude verse 20. But you, beloved. Now, Jude wrote this down, I'm assuming on some parchment somewhere, about 2,000 years ago. A little less, but about 2,000 years ago. There was a shark discovered, a type of a shark creature. They estimated that it was still alive. It was 360 years old that they found in the ocean swimming around. I remember there was a tortoise they had somewhere that was about 300 years old. I mean, that sucker was birthed in the ocean, that shark, before America was ever put together. And it's swimming around today. I mean, we don't understand time. And here you have words written 2,000 years ago. Do you understand? Countries have came to existence and fallen. And these words are still standing. You know, there's words that God has for you. Think about God as your Father. It's been around forever. You have a mind of God that's been around for eternity. For eternity, God has been thinking about you and the plans and the desires He has for you. You have an eternity of thoughts from God that are out of this world for you. For you. Now let's get out of the whole let's win the world plan, because You know, it's easy to hide in a crowd. In fact, it's sometimes fun to hide in the crowd because then you don't get the spotlight on you, and you don't have to answer. You just have to let someone else answer. And, you know, when the teacher says, okay, who has the answer? If you're not sure, you let someone else answer first, you know. Well, think about these words 2,000 years ago that have survived before even America was even discovered. You know, 1,400 years before America was discovered, these words were written down, and they have traveled through generations of people in assault, tried and tempted to be stamped out by the devil, by religion. And here you have, sitting on your lap or on your phone now, these words. But you, my beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That you have now the ability to pray in the Holy Spirit in that language, and like a builder, allow Him to build in you the knowledge and truth that's been around for eternity, that cannot be moved, cannot be pushed away, cannot be denied, a truth that is cannot be denied. In fact, a better way to word it would be a truth with a purpose that cannot be denied. If you'll just pray in the Holy Ghost. And you have a Father who has for eternity had His mind on you. So I'm not letting you hide in the crowd today. The spotlight's right on you. You have a Father who has for eternity. I mean, that eternity's a long time. I may hear one preacher preach about hell, and I almost got saved again when the way he worded it. But the way he said it was, you know, if I took an eternity, if a dove, you know, you got to use a nice bird, if a dove picked up a piece of Kleenex, you know, those little paper Kleenexes, and flew over Mount Everest. And as it flew over Mount Everest, allowed that Kleenex to just brush over the top of the, just like that, just touch the top of the mountain, and then landed on the other side of Mount Everest. And the next morning, that bird would get up and grab another Kleenex and fly over Mount Everest and just brush over the top, just like that. And he said every morning, just once a day, that bird would do that. And when that bird has, by the Kleenex, by flying over it with that piece of paper, whittled down Mount Everest to being flat as a plane and has wore it down, that is but one day in the day of eternity. That we don't understand or comprehend eternity, but do you even think that you got a Father who's been around forever, and forever He's thought about you, and He has thoughts for you and plans for you and desires for you? It's embarrassing for us, I mean for me personally, to when I realize how little I do know, you know, how little I do know and how much there is to know. It's humbling for all of us to accept His knowledge, His help in our life. It's humbling because we're not worthy of it. We're born into it. We're entitled because of our birthright, because we're born of Him. It's not something we earn, and it's really not something you can prove. I'm going to prove I'm right. I'm going to prove to you I'm right. It's something that we have to yield over to. And there's knowledge that's been around for eternity that God has wanted to bring into your life and into this planet, into this earth. There's music that's beautiful that God wants to bring from His realm into our realm. And we keep getting men in the way writing nice jingles, but we need some beautiful music that lifts our hearts into believing God for the miraculous. All of eternity, He's got a mind for you, a plan for you, thoughts for you. Not just for the church, not just for his goal, his ultimate goal of winning people, but for you. And we can live our whole life and never even touch the tip of what he has for you. And you spend your whole life trying to hold on and never experience just a little bit of that truth. See, truth from God is like it's a brick. It's something that he can build upon. It's something that you can build and count on. It's not something that comes and goes. You know, when you have you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a really good thought, you say, I'm going to write that down. You go, no, that was so good, I'll remember that. And then the next morning you're thinking, didn't I have something last night that I was supposed to remember? You know, or you have that experience in life, you go, I'll never forget that. And then a few years later, it's gone. Psh. Well, that's not the truth. That's not the knowledge that comes from eternity, that comes from God. That's not the knowledge that is established by praying in the Holy Ghost. There is truth and knowledge about who God is and who you are that can only come from him for you. Because you're not me and I'm not you. We're going to do different things in this world. We're going to touch different people. And it's embarrassing how we've taken God and squished him into this little package box of this. If you do this, you're doing good. And we're missing out. You're missing out. I'm missing out by accepting that lower level of understanding and being happy going to church, happy doing this and doing that, walking it out instead of learning from him himself who you are. It's true. If you only knew who you are, you just have to know who you are. I mean, someone who said that to me didn't say it in the way that I'm preaching to you. They said it in a way of, hey, well, you're spending too much time praying and fasting and worshiping. You just have to know who you are and walk in it. It's like, okay, great. How do I know who I am? Well, you just read the word and do it. Well, great. I'll do that until it doesn't work. Then what? And, you know, I'll pray for someone's kneecap and they get healed. Great. But what about the children that Gary mentioned this morning that are really broken? And what happens when I pray for them and I hit that wall? And God, your word is true. I believe it's true, but it's not happening. We know that it's not him. He's not the one withholding. So the question is, how do I know? How do I get to know who I am in him? And when I say no, I mean not just hear about it, but I know it. I know it because it's a truth that's so established in me that nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. No hardship, no opportunity, no frustration, no negotiation can change my direction, my mind, on who I am and where I'm going. Because that's what truth is. Truth is undeniable. It's powerful. It's potent. In the mirror of truth, when you look at truth, untruth shake and break. Truth from eternity, truth from God is something that creates universes and planets and miracles. And truth from God changes your world. Changes your who you are. In fact, I mean, we've been talking about metamorphosis, or as Gary's friend would say, merimorphoso, or something like that. We just call it transformation. But to consider transformation as simply being, I'm a better version of myself. I'm a evolved human. I was born human, but now I'm a better human with better manners, and I behave better, is a injustice to the word metamorphoso, because you're born a new species. You're born a new creature. You have in you a nature, but that's not the only thing. The nature brought to light your inner man. So now the inner man, the inner body is alive and light, but God left the outward body dark and dead until it can be switched out in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this is some of what we read in Colossians. In fact, let's just start in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1. We'll do a little reading if you don't mind. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Now I love this because he's talking about treasures of knowledge and wisdom. And then he says, you got to get that in you, because people will come with persuasive words. See, if you don't know who you are, you're in danger of being persuaded that you're someone who you're not. That there's a different path, there's a better path. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now let's just pause there for one moment, because this is where most church folks stop in life. Is the goal is to get someone born again, and then we move on. But there's so much more for that person who just got born again. That person who just got born again has a whole plan that God has thought about for eternity for that person. Your calling is so specific and so unique and so beautiful and so powerful that in God's eternal mind of thoughts, he's put and chiseled and thought of every angle and every consideration possible for you, for your future. You think you're going through stuff now, and it's a shock to God. It's not a surprise to God what you're going through. I mean, how amazing for him to know your choices and then to readjust his plan. I remember asking one time, because I was complaining, I would take all day Saturday and prepare a sermon for Sunday. And I mean, I'm not just like, let me think about what I would preach, but I would go into God, God, what do you want me to preach on? And I would pray, and he'd get his thoughts and his mind for that service, and write down notes, and I'd get up to go preach. And as soon as I'd get up to preach, it would go a whole different direction. Now, it'd be different if I was, you know, because we see Gary all the time throw his notes out the window, but you know, it'd be different if I had like just copied a sermon off of a sermon book, and then God took me off of that. I would get up to preach on a Sunday after a Saturday of spending time with God, and it'd be a different sermon. And I finally, after that happened a number of times, I said, God, what's going on? Am I missing you on Saturday, or am I missing you on Sunday? Which one is it? you know, because I'm trying to hear you and listen to you. And he said, well, when you asked me on Saturday, I have to tell you the sermon I want you to preach for the people who are supposed to be there on Saturday. Even though I know who's not going to be there, I can't prepare you for them not being there. See, foreknowledge of God, just because he knows things, doesn't mean he's allowed to change things. So you don't go through those things. But it does allow him to tweak it when he needs to tweak it. So when you ask me on Saturday, I have to give you a sermon for the people who are supposed to be there on Sunday. And then the ones that the enemy is able to keep out of service on Sunday. Then I give you a sermon for the ones that are there in that moment. There's knowledge that God has for you. Now stop right now, because you have something he wants. You do. You have a prize that God is after. It is you, but it's more than that. It's your life. What are you going to do with your life? Because that's the power you have, your free will to live your life however you choose. Have you ever tried to counsel someone who's doing something really stupid? And you know they're doing something really stupid. Everyone knows they're doing something really stupid. And they might know they're doing something really stupid. But they're not wanting help. They're wanting comfort. They're wanting approval. You know, as a pastor, you find out when someone has talked to 15 pastors for advice, it's because they're trying to find one person to tell them what they want to hear. Like, just, I'm looking for one leader to give me agreement so I can do what I've been trying to do the whole time. But all you pastors are sticking to the word, telling me I can't do it. I want to find another preacher somewhere that tell me that I can do what I want to do. Well, you have something that God wants. He wants to be in your business. He wants to be in your life. He wants to lead your steps. He wants your life to belong to him, that he can make a difference on this earth with his plan. But you can refuse him that. You can hinder him in that. And you can blame him the whole time that it's his fault. But it's not. It's your life. There's no limitations for what and how much of God you can have. You have something he wants. But just giving your time, just giving your life to him, as in, okay, God, I'm yours, without saying, I'm yours. I'm yours as in, how do I word that? As in, I'll give you my time to go do things, but I still have the veto power to back off when I'm uncomfortable. Because the moment you say you're his, he takes you to class, to school, and begins to tell you that, hey, you know that part of you that you struggle with, that tries to pull you a different path? Fear, anxiety, it can be emotions, it can be temptations into sin. Well, that's not who you are. That's in your natural body. That's the leftover from who Adam made you. And he's not able to get rid of that until the moment or twinkling of an eye and you receive a new body. So you have this body that you're wearing that is contrary to God, has its own knowledge of this earth, has its own emotions from this earth. It's like an animal. It's a meathead, is what I like to call it. It's the monkey on my back that keeps trying to tell me who I am when God's telling me I'm someone different. Every thought, every question you have, every problem you have will have two answers that come forward inside of your head. Every thought, every problem will have two solutions. One will be from this earth, and one will be from eternity. A thought from God that he's been thinking about for eternity, for that problem right now that you're facing. Hold that. The problem you're facing, whatever it might be, could be in yourself, could be in your family, could be in your finances, could be in the path you're on. You're going to have two solutions. One will come from your natural brain, because the natural brain has the ability to figure out problems and bring solutions. But another thought comes from the spiritual man, your inner man. That thought came from eternity. God has for eternity been thinking about the solution for your problem. Now, he may not have been able, oh, preacher, if God knew that I was going to face this problem today, why did he not change it so I wouldn't go through this problem and just avoid it? Why am I going through this situation? Well, one of the tenets of faith is it's not God's fault. Trouble is not God's fault. Because just because he foreknows things doesn't give him the power, the right, or the authority to change things. But in his foreknowledge of your choices, of your life, of your situation, he's able to spend an eternity planning the answer for you today. He may not be able to deliver you the answer until today, but he's known about today for eternity. Am I making sense? So in that moment, you have an opinion from your natural mind, which will give you a quick fix. Or you have an opinion that carries an eternity of thought from God. And in that eternity of thought, there's so much power, so much potency to shake things, to quake things. And you may think, well, it's just a little thing. If he put an eternity of thought into that little thing, it's not a little thing. It may seem like a little thing to you, but it's a big thing. It's a huge thing. It's a life-altering thing. Verse 8 of Colossians 2, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. See, there's pathways into serving God that is empty and is philosophy, but the knowledge of God for you personally, listen, it's not empty, it's powerful. According to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now let's pause there, because that's a beautiful verse, but a misunderstood verse. I'm complete in him. You know, you can take that every which way but Sunday, as they say, if you want to. One guy who's living unholy will say, well, brother, I'm complete in him. This didn't change in my life, so praise God, I don't have to worry about it. I can keep living unholy because I'm complete in him. Or another guy might say, why are you praying so much? You bunch of monks, trying to be a monk, spending time sitting in chairs praying. Why are you praying so much? We're already complete in him. Look. Verse 10, you are complete in him. That's what they'll tell you. You're complete in him. Well, that would make sense, except he said already in what we read that they've been taught. Let's read this again. Verse 1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. So there's a conflict. There's a concern. There's a struggle. I have a struggle. I'm concerned about you. When you're a mom and your teenage daughter goes out with friends and they don't show up on time and or they're late or they're missing, there's a struggle, there's a concern, I hope they're okay. You start praying, and you know, here the Apostle Paul says, I have a great struggle, conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So even though they've not met him, he still loves them and is praying for their victory, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining all riches the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So again, this is what you want right here. Hidden in God are treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's for you. That's where you find it. Not from someone's sermon. Not from someone's book, although those are all helpful and encouraging. But in Him, you're going to find it. From Him, you personally. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. So I say this because if someone's trying to persuade you, that means they're trying to move you. They have an agenda to maneuver you, to get you to move, to change the course that you may be on with God. And when you come to the acceptance that this is your life, this is your life to offer God, this time on this planet is your life to offer God, you hold that power to offer to Him or to withhold it from Him. No one has the power to do it for you. No one can make you do anything. Not even your natural man has the power anymore to make you be broken your whole life, to make you be defeated. You hold the responsibility then of how far you go into God or how far you don't go into God. No one else has that power, not even God Himself, to make you be who He wants you to be. No one does. I'm trying to give advice to a young lady. I'm in love with this boy. Well, good. How long have you known him? Well, it's 2 weeks. And we're getting married. Okay. Does he have a job? Well, no, he doesn't have a job. Well, where does he live? Well, does he have a car? No, I got to give him rides. Okay, I see a lot of red flags here. You know, no, it's okay. I'm in love with him. And I ask God, if it wasn't God, to take out my desire for him. And God didn't take out the desire, so it must be God's will. And we laugh at that example because, you know, every teenager, you know, that's what happens. They fall in love and they say, you know, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener, as they say. And, you know, and I had one guy come and say, this is the one. I said, listen, you don't need to marry that girl. Well, it's too late. Once they talk to you, if their heart's gone, it's usually too late anyway. And he said, oh, this is the one. I said, no. I said, buddy, because I knew him and he wanted my advice. I said, you need to stay far away from this girl. He goes, what? I said, listen, you asked my advice. My advice is run. You know, and he didn't run. In fact, he told her that I told him that she was not right for him. And so that caused a little bit of a problem for me, you know. And so he came back into my office the next few days later. And I'm like, listen, let me tell you, if we're going to go down this road, let me just tell you why. You know, she's a liar. And I said, she's not just a liar. She's like a psychopath liar. Like she can't help herself. She lies all the time about every little thing. And I said, you're going to marry her. Let me tell you, you're going to spend years, 4 or 5 years struggling just to get her on your side because she will not accept you as a typical husband. And you're going to have a miserable 4 years. Now, maybe God's telling you to marry her so you can help her get normal. But, you know, you're a good-looking young man. You can marry a lot of girls. You don't have to, you know. Well, I mean, that poor boy, he was back in my office, I think, 4 or 5 months later. He's like, well, Pastor, I was going to leave my wife and divorce her today, but she told me she's pregnant. I said, well, you know, I have no sympathy for you because I warned you and I told you. You know, and here's what he told me. He looked at me and goes, you did? I don't remember you telling me any of that stuff. Like, man, when you're in love, man, guard your heart till your head sees who they are, you know. How do I get on that? I don't know. Because you can be persuaded into things, but there's a safety for you that says there's a treasure of knowledge and wisdom in God that will protect you from the attacks of people persuading you into their thoughts of who God is and how you should act, how you should walk, what you should do to be a good, faithful Christian. Let me be clear, there's only one being that knows what you should do, and that's your Father. And He's thought for eternity about what you're facing today. That situation you're facing today is not a surprise to Him. He knew it was coming. Even if you made the choices to get there, He knew it was coming an eternity ago. And has put thought into the solution for you today, and will tell you today of this treasure and knowledge, how to walk through today. Well, God, why didn't you tell me yesterday? Because yesterday was yesterday. I can only tell you today who you are today. But in that little bit of advice, wisdom, knowledge that He gives you for today, it's powerful. It's not little. It may seem little. You know, like a little fuse you light. I'm like, God, that's just a little fuse. I'll ask Gary, what does the word dunamis mean? And Gary will yell out loud, dynamite. The same place we get the word dynamite from. That's the word power. The word that God gives you for today. You may say, God, that's a little, God, I'm having trouble with my marriage. God, what do I do? He says, I want you to do this. And it's just a little thing. And you say, well, that doesn't fix it. Well, it may not fix it instantly, but it's dynamite. It's like, God, you just give me a little fuse. And all He says is, shut up and light the fuse. You say, well, it's not going to fix anything. Psst, look, see, it's all doing. And there goes the fuse like that. But on the end of that fuse is a little stick of dynamite that's going to blow up. And not say it's going to blow up your marriage, but it's going to help blow up the problem. What's blocking God from answering it? And that little answer has an eternity of your Father thinking about how to answer it. And you think, well, it's so small, it's not going to do anything. It may not do anything that you see today, but down the road, it will change things. We're in such a microwave society. We want our answers now. And we have turned our faith world into, if I don't have it now, it doesn't work. When God will give us step by step, brick upon brick, knowledge upon knowledge, truth upon truth that is an eternal truth that won't change. You understand, this knowledge and wisdom that comes from God, it'll be the same answer tomorrow. 100 years from now, it'll be the same answer, the same truth. It doesn't change. This word goes back before they built pyramids. This word that you're holding in your hand has outlasted kingdoms and countries. And the Word of God is powerful. And truth that comes from Him won't change later on. You go to some advisor for your finances, and he's, oh, you want to buy this stock. So you go buy that stock, and it drops the next day, and you go back, and he says, oh, I'm sorry. It was good last year, but not good today. And you're like, well, can I get my money back? No, you can't get your money back. It's gone. God's truth won't change. What He asks you today, what you ask Him today, will be the same answer 1,000 years from now, the Lord tarry. For though I am absent in verse 5 in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been, what's the word? Taught. So this group has already been taught principles of truth, how to get truth, but yet they're not walking in the fullness of it yet. So he's given them answers after he taught them. In other words, it's not a one performance job for a pastor to come up, preach a sermon, and say, you got everything you need, now walk in it, see you in heaven. There's an actual walking through and walking out of stuff and walking in the stuff. There's a learning, there's a growing, there's a maturing, there's a transformation, a process that God has for you. Because if he wasn't trying to tell them how to fix the problem that they were in, he wouldn't be writing the book. I remember someone trying to argue, said, well, you know, we should have it all now because we're born again. We just have to know who God is and know who we are. And I said, why do you think we have scripture? Because they're writing people to help them figure out that they're making a mistake. They're having problems. That this is part of Christianity, walking into what God has for you and walking out of the foolishness of the natural thoughts. And the foolishness of the natural man can come from your own head or from someone else's head. The solutions that are powerless to really change the world. So they've already been taught, and he's helping them to walk through because someone's trying to unteach them and persuade them into different things. And I'm saying all this because we're coming to verse 10. Verse 6, and you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So one guy could take that one verse and say, I'm complete in him. That means I'm free. I don't have to worry about holiness. I can do whatever I want. I'm complete in him, brother. Don't you know that? Praise God, I'm complete. Another guy can say, I'm complete in him. I've got all of him right now. It's all set. I just have to yield over to him. But both those are wrong. No, they're wrong. Because he says that you were already taught this. So if they already had it, they would have been walking in it. He wouldn't need to just say, remember what I told you last time? It's the truth. Keep doing that. That would be every verse that you would read. The New Testament after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John would be the Epistle of Paul. Do what I said. Goodbye. You're complete in him means all your answers you'll ever find that are going to have any meaning in life only come from this treasure that's hidden in him. And guess what? You have access to him. You have access to that knowledge, to that wisdom. But you also have the power to withhold your life from him and say, you know what? I don't trust that you are going to get me to where I think I need to be. So I'm going to give my opinion, which comes from your natural mind. The natural mind, the natural brain, let me tell you, it's an animal of its own. It has its own thought process, its own ideas for you, its own plans, desires for you, to tell you who you are, tell you who you're not, tell you what you're capable of, what you're not capable of. To say to you, this is the way to success. And then when you get to heaven, you find out that you withheld your life from him. Even though you gave him good things, you gave him some time. Really, was it what he was after wasn't your time, wasn't your money, wasn't your works. He was after the reins, the right to lead your steps. Because if his thoughts of eternity for you don't stop at today, 2019, December 22nd, 2019. See, his thoughts for you started at the beginning, before the beginning of eternity. Like Gary would say, Dave says, if you go back forever and find him there, and then you go back again forever and find him there, he's already been there forever. You know, so for all those forevers, he's been thinking about all the problem that you have today, and he has an answer for you today that has been thought about for eternity, but he didn't start at the beginning of eternity. He's been there forever, which means that his thoughts are beyond today into the future forever. So his eternity thoughts go not just backwards, they go forwards. And all of that is about you. It's about you and your situation, what you're facing today. And he wants to give you an answer today that isn't just about a quick fix today. It's about a billion years from now, you being thankful that you listened to him today. It's about 100 billion years from now, you thinking back to December 22nd, 2019, and think, boy, he really is smart. He really was right. I'm so grateful that I humbled myself and submitted the truth without forcing him to make me listen to the truth. Because when you take that little girl that's going to marry the boy that rides a bicycle and lives with his mama and doesn't have a job, you want to handcuff her. And trust me, some dads have done that. They've taken their daughter and handcuffed them and said, you're not marrying this guy. They've hunted down the guy and said, you're not marrying my daughter. And they run off and get married anyway. You want people to listen. You're like, come on, can't you see? You're about to jump off a cliff. A lot of people want to live in denial. They don't want to take the responsibility. Listen, take your history, your failures, the makeup of your natural emotional soul, and it will tell you how not to repeat, how to be safe. But that wisdom is powerless for what God has for you. See, the only place you'll get wisdom and knowledge to move forward is from him. Because the natural man is as dumb as an animal. My dogs are smart. They know things. But they're not smart like my kids. When Brewster, we call him Brew, little Brewster, howls a certain way, he knows the person that just pulled up on the driveway. And they'll bark at the mailman. They know the mailman. They can hear the mail truck coming like a block away. And they'll start barking before they ever see it. Because they can hear, they remember the sound of the mail truck. And they know the sound of Christie's car. So when Christie's car pulls up, before they can see it, little Brewster will start, howl. So I know that somebody that he knows is coming. But he doesn't do that for people he doesn't like. He does that for people he loves. Then that's an animal. I know some of you don't think your dog's an animal, but your dog's an animal. And we love them like our kids, but still an animal. And so they're smart, but they're not smart like my daughter, who I can teach ABCs or can teach me things now about math that I don't have no idea. And that's what you want to listen to, the animal that's on your back trying to give you advice about how to be successful? Get out of your oh, I'm going to pause right there. Because you have access to a wisdom and a knowledge, a treasure from God, eternity in the making for you today. It'll make no sense for me to talk to my dog and say, Brewster, here's our plans for this week, Brewster. Just want to go over it. Christy and I will sit down and she'll give me my instructions for the week. Here's what we're doing for the week. And how we're going to make sure the kids have a decent Christmas. Yes, dear. I need you to go do this and do that so we get it done. Yes, dear. And we make our plans together. and we'll do our negotiating. And it makes no common sense for us to say, hold on, before we seal our calendar for our schedule for this week, let me bring in Brew, our dog, Brewster. Brewster, come here, Brewster. Yeah, and Brewster's a little cautious. He's suspicious, so he has to know that there's a reason. You know, like our other dog, he obeys a little better. If you say, do this, he'll kind of do it. But Brewster, he'll watch you first. So when Harrison feeds him in the morning, he'll go, who wants food? And the one dog, Yoshi, will run right to the kitchen. He wants to be the first one to eat. Brewster will sit up and think, he's tricking me. He's tricking me. So he waits till he can hear the actual food go in the bowl. And then like a lightning, he's whoosh, right there. Okay, Chrissy, what are we going to do this week? Well, we want to accomplish these goals for the holidays so the kids have a decent time. What do you have? What do I have? Let's go over that scheduling together. And then, hold on. Brew, come here, Brew. Sit down. We've got a little treat for you now. What are your thoughts, Brewster, about this week? What's your opinions? Do you think this will work? Oh, we want to know. You never do that, but here you are listening to the animal in your head, the natural brain, the natural man, trying to tell you who you are and what your future holds. Locked into the past, that natural man is built up from your past experiences, good and bad, and it's crazy. It'll listen to other crazy natural opinions. They have seminars. They have tapes and books on how to be a better natural man. Well, I got something better than you can buy for $19.99 on the internet on how to be better winner of people. And what's the name of that book? How to Influence People and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Those are all great for the natural man. They'll make you a better natural man, which is powerless in eternity. It's powerless in eternity. I'm not against becoming better at things. I think anything that you can be cleaner at and more behaved in, that's wonderful. But there's a transformation that's available for every believer to quit living out of the natural man and live out of the spiritual man. And that spiritual man can get its wisdom from God. And it's knowledge, a truth, a spiritual brick that does not change 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now. That truth that the Holy Ghost shared with you will still be true. It will not change. You won't go, oh, I listened to the wrong guy. They didn't know what they were talking about. That's what happens when you go to 15 pastors for advice. Hey, I got this problem. What do you think? Why do you keep telling me to look in the Word? Thank you for your time. Pastor, I need to talk to you. I have this problem. What do you think? Okay, thank you for giving me the Word. Thank you for your time. Pastor, I have an emergency. I need to talk to you. You know, and you always hate when people make their emergencies your emergency. And pretty soon they find someone somewhere to say, oh yeah, no, that's okay. You're right. Hallelujah. See, I got a man of God who said, I'm right, so I'm going to do what I wanted to do all along, instead of changing to the Word of God. There's truth that comes from God that will never change. It'll be the same truth 1,000,000,000 years from now. It's not a trick. He's not a trickster. I gotcha. Thought you were going to change the world, did you? No. He's got great things for you. You just got to understand what he thinks is great may be different than what you think is great. But when he thinks about you, you may think, God, all my life I was taught. All my youth, if you were raised in church, I wasn't raised in church. Or maybe you were raised in church. God, all my life, I thought that if I were going to be great in the kingdom, it's how many souls I won. Because that's what I used to be taught, you know. The only thing you can take to heaven is people. So how many people are you going to take with you? God, I've tried to be a great soul winner, but I just got one guy to say the sinner's prayer. That's it. And look at over there at so-and-so. They got, some people love getting together and fellowshipping, and other people like to be quiet. You're different. It's okay to be different. When you start comparing your calling and your place in the body with other people, you're going to feel less than. Or you may feel better than. Both are equally wrong. How about you hear from him and you become who he wants you to become? And trust that a billion years from now, you'll be thinking, oh, he was right. I'm so glad I listened. I'm so glad I yielded to that small bit of advice that he gave me that one moment, and I yield over to it. I swallowed my pride and I yielded over to it, and because it changed the course of my direction. It changed my life. It did show up that day, but 100 billion years later, that truth is still the truth. Everything you're facing right now, whatever your prayer is, whatever your situation is, God's already been here. He's already been on this date, December 22nd, 2019. And just me saying that makes it sound like it's the future already. I still feel like it's hard to believe that, 1990 was like almost 30 years ago. Yikes. Some of you young people, shut up. Yeah, they're like, well, it was 30 years ago. Shut up. Yeah. He's already been here. He's already been in your moment right now for eternity and has come up with a solution an eternity ago and thought about it for eternity and is thinking about it from the future. So that when you get there, you will say, he was right. Or you can listen to that crazy animal called your natural brain or the people who think naturally, and they'll give you their solution. And you'll feel better about yourself today. But in eternity, you will say, that wasn't a truth, that was a lie. The only place that you're going to find a truth that sticks around forever, lasts forever, and never changes, is from the Holy Spirit. Let's keep praying in tongues. Your life is just starting. It's not over. You're not stuck where you are. You're just beginning on an adventure. You may say, well, I don't have that much time left. There's what God can do, what he's been doing, and what he can do. Think about what he can do with one person who says, I am only going to live by the truth that God gives me. How about when that one person becomes two, and those two people become 10, and soon you've got a whole family of people who refuse to live out of the natural man and living out of their spirit. See, that's what God's cultivating in what we feel here at the prayer center, is that's what God's heart is to cultivate. Not just one shiny man that everyone is excited about, but a bunch of people walking in the wisdom and knowledge of God together, obedient, where I hear God and follow God, and you hear God and follow God, and you hear God and follow God. And guess what? He puts things together that we can never do if we had a meeting and tried to get together. He did it on his own, and we just listened to him individually. There's a knowledge and a truth, and it's treasured in him. It's hidden in him. Yes, you are complete in him. That's where you're going to find everything you need, in him. But he's not finished yet. You're not finished yet. It's not, the work is not done yet. You've been taught, you know, but now you've got to walk it out and go to him daily. And gain that knowledge. Because when we know who we are in the way that he thinks you know who you are, then you won't accept anything but who you are. And that has to do with healing, finances, humility, every area of your life that you can think of. Every prayer you'll ever think of, he's already thought about it. Let's be obedient and follow him. Let's keep digging into him, praying in the Holy Ghost, and finding that wisdom and knowledge for your life. Amen. We got great things ahead. It's going to be a great year coming ahead, and a great future ahead. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We have you. You're our Father. We're born of you. And in this life of transforming and transformation, of going out of living out of our natural man into living out of our spiritual man, with our spiritual man being educated by the knowledge and truth that comes from eternity. We're not afraid of anything. There's no situation. There's no circumstance. There's nothing that will intimidate us. Because we know that you've already been here. And you know the solution. We're not afraid. We're fearless. We're not persuadable. We are teachable only to the Spirit. No man could persuade me to leave this path that I'm on. We're not movable because the truth that you're teaching us are anchors to you. They're anchors to eternity. And Father, those are the truths that tell us who we are. And we thank you that you won't give up on us. And we take responsibility, Father. And we take our life that you've given to us. We're born of this world, and then you reborn us into your world. You gave us this gift of this life. But we won't withhold it from you. We give it back to you. The life that we live in you. Because it's your life that you gave to us. We don't have a right. We don't take that right away from you. We give it back to you and say, our life is not our own. Belongs to you. Lead our steps. Teach us. As we yield over every day to the Holy Spirit, teach us who we are, who you want us to be, what you want us to do. Our life is yours. In Jesus' name. And as we close, I'll say this in prayer. There's not one of you that's disqualified. He's not talking to 99. He's talking to all of us. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to all of us. He's saying, don't give up on him because he won't give up on you. There's a great future ahead of you. Don't let the devil tell you that you're coming to a close. Just turn back and say, eat my dust, devil, because I'm on the starting line. I'm not on the finishing line. Amen. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you.